Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthshare.org.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Good morning, everybody.
I hope it is.
I hope it is for everyone.
I slept well last night.
I'm good. I did not, because this time I'm the fool of a took that stayed up to watch the Sabres game. So get the show intro in here before I start going ranty right away.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a sunny Thursday here, and today's show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Yes, the Sabres did play last night. We've also got some comments from Michael Kesselring that Lance Lysowski reported about a half hour or so ago. I want to be more mad. I want to do the whole song and dance. I get it, Derek, you may. This is just every year. It's maybe a new player, maybe a new time of the year, but we kind of do this every year with them.
No, you
nothing
don't.
Really changes.
I'm not going to get mad at that.
And it's just but we're going to have a player complaining about the criticism and or just mentioning that the vibes kind of suck here. We haven't hit the Ryan O'Reilly, I hate my life anymore moment, but it seems like we're getting close to that.
And you just got this guy.
Yeah, you just got this guy. He's played, what, 8 games for you? Not even? It's just this is who they are now. And this is who they've been for over a decade, it feels like.
That attitude is also allowed to permeate when you have a general manager saying, oh, we don't have palm trees here.
Yeah, we don't have palm trees, so we're playing with, one.
You would have been mad about me overpaying for a guy. Or at the start of this season, the writers are going to write what they write. Well, right now what they're writing is you have four regulation wins and 5 wins total on the season. That's what they're writing, Kevin. No, I'm mad at myself because, Zach, what did I say this year? I don't care if you're good, but be different. Fool of a took.
Yeah, they're the same team.
No. This is more haunted than years in past, Zachary. We have a player picking up blood clots. We have a player who hasn't eaten solid food in almost 2 weeks because of an illness. We have a player that I'm surprised even started the season in Buffalo. That's how loyal he is to this team, because his fiance had heart surgery and is recovering in Europe. And he finally has realized it's too much and he needs to go home.
Well, no, that stuff is different. But your best players who are still here aren't performing, and they look like garbage. Good for Alex Tuch. He's going to get a lot of money this offseason by another team, or they'll trade him. But he doesn't look worth the $11, $12 million a year. Thompson, he looks lost out there.
Thompson is not on Team USA.
No, he's a passenger. And then your number one overall pick in defense that is still here, Owen Power, he's a mixed bag at best most nights. Cool, Jack Quinn's gotten better, and the young guys look at least a little
fun. The two games that Dahlin has been out for already, Owen Power has been fine.
He's been fine.
I will say that.
Owen Power has been fine. The young guys are starting to look okay. Roseanne had two goals last night. Good for him. That's awesome.
Roseanne, Auslin, and Quinn are suddenly the line that they have to rely on.
But cool, like this is just 3 years ago with the kid line.
But also,
it's the same thing.
No, the difference is that line that Tage and Tuck are on are scoring. Tage doesn't register a shot last night. A shot on goal. The thing that's his thing. He doesn't do it. He's not driving play. All of a sudden, he's a Zach Benson merchant this year. By the way, their record without Benson this year is abhorrent.
Have they won a game yet without
him? They've won one game without him. That's it. That's the number. And it's no surprise that Benson's the only point per gamer on the team.
I don't really see any differences in them this year.
The difference is how they were, like, it's the way that some of the things have happened with Kulik and Zucker and Dahlin. It's different in a haunting sense, in a haunting perspective. The injury prone center is injured on a faceoff late in a game that you were not in at that point when he suffers that injury, and en route to a 4-0 loss there on opening night. Benson can't start the season on time because he takes a puck in the face the day before the season begins and then gets an infection that has to put him in the hospital. So yeah, I should not have used the word different. Shame on me. Shame on me for that one. But also shame on me that I went into last night thinking, okay, if there's a game that they're going to win on the road trip, it's got to be this one. You're not beating Colorado on the back-to-back. You're just not with this roster. And I don't know if you've got the goods to do it again to Detroit. Ellis is in net. He's looked good. Or at least he's looked fine enough. They've got a 2-1 lead. Kid line looks exciting. The D pairs are stabilizing. Like, Power and Samuelson had a rough first, but they stabilized in the second. Byram doesn't look like a total disaster out there with Timmins. Kesselring is kind of off to a little bit of a shaky start still. And then the third period happens. 51 seconds in, you let old Fred and J.J. Paterka score a goal. And, like, it's funny, but also understanding why people view Buffalo in a negative light, Rob's commentary on that goal. He doesn't do much of anything. Vintage J.J. Paterka, he doesn't do much of anything. Then he finds himself the puck, gets around to the side and takes the shot and does what he does best. Outsiders might look at that as, yeah, no wonder players don't want to stay here. But at the same time, if you know Rob Ray, it's Rob Ray being Rob Ray. But again, there's so much to last night where it was this debilitating collapse. And
again, they can't win games in the third period.
Hey, you know what?
I mean, they've gone to overtime multiple times this year now because they can't hold on to a lead in the third period. Last night was the same. They just didn't get to overtime because they got boat raced and gave up four.
Yeah, and something to the point where I don't know how you change things if the negativity breeds negativity, something like that. And yet at the same time, enough of these players, this core, and this general manager have been here enough. Adams has been here for almost half the drought now. That heat should be directed proper. Tage Thompson has been here for a good amount of this drought now. That heat is directed proper. Tuck has been trying to be a leader on this team for several years. Like, do the new guys deserve it? No, not necessarily. Especially the new guys that try their best to get things done right away. You look at that new version of the kid line. But something Paul Hamilton wrote in his article really resonates strong with me on this one. And it's cutting. He said, "I hope Terry Pegula is happy. And I could not agree more. You've left Adams in charge. This is what you want? Is this what you want? Because at some point, the general manager has had enough time. I know you were trying to overcorrect after being too trigger happy. You let go of a couple coaches pretty quickly. And you wanted to make sure you're not being trigger happy on that. General manager's been here now for 6 years. That's enough time. Or he's in his sixth year. That's enough time to properly evaluate if he's got the goods or not. He doesn't. Oh, and by the way, Adams, now might be the time to try to make a trade to save your skin. Or save this team's season. They are playing with half of an AHL roster. Now might be the time."
Problem is, it's not going to be a buying trade. I don't think it will be.
You need to acquire a depth piece.
Well, no, sure. I think, though,
if
they make a trade at this rate, I mean, by the time this weekend's over with, it'll be to sell off pieces.
Trade a third round pick for some guy that might be able to float in the bottom six of this roster, because I can't keep asking the AHL to supply all the goods right now.
You might be. At this rate, they're not making a trade to buy and to try to get this season back on track. Their trade is to, we're getting rid of pieces and we're starting over.
You can't get rid of more pieces right now.
Now, with that being said, it won't be Adams, I think, making those trades. It can't be. It cannot be at this point. But to me, I don't see any differences. This is just a rehash of the last few years. To start the year, they're getting incredible goaltending. They can't score. The team can't hold on to leads in the third period. They're not having their best players actually play like their best players. Alex Tuch and Tage Thompson lead the team in points. If you look around the rest of the league, it's a travesty they are. They are not even remotely playing like some of the best players.
You want your fun stat?
You would think Tage Thompson has no desire to go to the Olympics the way he plays
right.
Most nights.
There's no effort.
They were up 2-1 or 2-0 last night, and eventually 2-1. But it's the young guys. I'm not seeing it from the veterans. I'm not seeing
they're
that
invisible.
Veteran presence. And it points to Kesselring's quote that Lance Lysowski has here. Quote, "We had such a good fan base here talking about Utah. It was so nice just seeing all the positive things all the time. You see the other side of it now in a hockey market that's pretty critical." He's been here for 15 minutes, and you're at the bottom of the East. I'm sorry we're critical.
Utah's also only been around for a year. They just got a hockey team.
But so,
of course they're thrilled.
But again, it's another player that seemingly any criticism their way, they shrink. I don't know if this is a hockey thing, but this is now a conversation around hockey circles constantly. But that was your big piece. That was the big trade with J.J. Paterka. Doan's been a nice addition, but he was kind of, for most of us, considered the secondary piece. Michael Kesselring was considered the major piece, supposed to be a top four defenseman. He's not. And if this is where he's at, I mean, what are we doing here?
And what
are we doing?
Not to mention the guy you traded away started the comeback in that third period. He starts the blitzkrieg. And I don't know what you change anymore. I don't know what you can do. I know what you can do. You get a new general manager in here and you see if he can figure it out. You identify which pieces you might be getting through. We're going through another rebuild, y'all. I hope we're ready that, like, you see the, we see the bet board in here. Jets make playoffs before 2030. I might start putting one up here about the Sabres making the playoffs before 2030.
I wonder if there's a group of the fan base, though, that is almost excited for it. Because we've kind of been in the same rebuild constantly.
Because
they have made the playoffs.
It?
They haven't, like, gone up and down. It's just been the static bottom tier of the league. Maybe you fight for a little while. You don't make the playoffs, right? There isn't that linchpin moment of, like, okay, like, that was just a success. It's all been just floundering failure. So, yeah, I think there's probably a group of fan base that doesn't have the prospect fatigue yet.
You know who's excited for it
at this point? Let's go. Let's do this.
Me.
Right.
I'd be excited for it. Because then I'd be able to see if another person can actually get it done.
And not have the
snarky asides in the media.
I think the next wave that they do this in, it has to be, I mean, in a way, it has to be done more seriously. You have to go get a guy like a Brendan Shanahan who has a ton of credibility in the league. Don't give me that, well, with Toronto, I don't care. I'm not talking about cups right now.
Toronto made the playoffs every year with him.
And I've talked about it with the Bills, too, of like, I'm sort of in the same spot with them, but for very different reasons. The Bills, I'm losing patience of the Super Bowl window. But they're constantly in the playoffs. We're complaining about a 6-3 football team that is in the playoffs and sadly may not win their division a sixth year in a row, right? They're in a different world. The Sabres, don't give me cups right now. I just want to make the playoffs. I want to experience postseason hockey. I want to experience a series. I want to experience joy watching this team for longer than 15 minutes on opening night of like, oh, it's a new season. Oh, no, okay, it's all gone. You got to bring in somebody like a Brendan Shanahan. You already kind of have it started with Kekalainen, where it's like, okay, Jarmo's here, good. There's a little bit of credibility there, actually some pretty good credibility. So he was able to make Columbus to a certain extent work, and that's a hockey market that is still just trying desperately to be relevant. There needs to be, and I don't mean it like this, but adults in the room that people respect in the world of hockey. Not this new flashy young kid that might do something, you know, crazy in the league. That's my thing too. The next hire, and it is coming, it cannot be a GM who hasn't had any GM experience. Ooh, but he might be interesting and he's a hot young name. No, that doesn't work. Coach, same thing. That does not work. I don't care if it's a not sexy idea. It needs to be somebody with credibility in the league and with around hockey circles, with players and with general managers and with coaching staffs that actually can get them on the right path. Because for the last over a decade, it's really kind of been the entire time, it has just been hot young name, can't really figure it out. GM that might be interesting, can't really figure it out, trying to do their own new thing, and it's not working. It's probably not the right way to go. You do want to get somebody that's going to sort of reinvent the wheel and do something different, but they have botched this for, it's going to go on 15 years, that they need to just go back to the drawing board, go back to the beginning, and get people that are credible.
And I think that that's really the biggest thing here is now you need somebody that has credibility, and I think that's why. When it originally happened, Owen Parker and I, we did an entire Sports Talk Saturday, thrilled about the fact that the Sabres hired Jarmo Kekalainen. And we made sure to make an entire day of it. So, we were excited that they got some guy with credibility, and there's an opportunity there. Good. We're seeing a guy that is willing to walk into these doors, right? When do you make the move? When do you make the move? Because I have a legitimate fear that they lose 7-1 tonight and they don't make a move.
Yeah, and it's just another loss.
And Adams just gets to stay here because he looks at all the extenuating circumstances and says, I couldn't win with this.
And in most other organizations, in most other years, that's a fair argument. It's a fair argument. Most other organizations, most other years, understandable. It's divine intervention, damn near. You got to figure it out. The Sabres, I've said this before, and for a multitude of different reasons, they've lost any grace. They've lost any goodwill. You don't have that to fall back on. Look at all the injuries. Look at all the stuff that's not even injury-related. Just unbelievable circumstances. We brought up the blood clots, the illnesses, fiancés having horrific health scares. But for the fandom, for the organization, you don't have that excuse, and it is an excuse. It is. It is. It's almost you don't have
very,
it anymore.
It's almost a very valid one, like you said, on other organizations in other seasons, on other teams. It makes sense. And with this one, it is because of the fact that, hey, the Sabres are having problems with injuries to their forward core. They're not scoring a lot. You know what would have helped? Keeping your 30-goal scorer. What a coinkydink. And all of a sudden, oh, hey, you traded the 30-goal scorer. Where are the goals going to come from, Kevin?
Dex, we're having that we're having that struggle now. We're having that because that's the thing, Thompson, and that's a big part.
Because it's not
of it
coming
too.
From your top guys.
Yeah, Thompson and Tucker are not really doing it again.
Oh, we're like going to use the rest of the roster to replace the goals for left by JJ Paterka.
With who?
Where?
Yeah, they're leading the team in points.
I'm looking at Jeff Mitas walking in here. We got a cameo going on. Jeff Mitas is going to score a goal before these Sabres do.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll have Sal Capaccio come up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk the Bills. They had their injury report yesterday, 14 names, although there does seem to be some good news on that. We'll also, though, get your calls here before we hit our first timeout. Mark is up with us first. Mark, how we doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. A lot of great points being made. I think it's they're different worlds, but it's the same organizational arrogance. It really is. I feel like I was in Miami for that game, and there was no fire. I mean, even Josh Allen – I don't want to come at him. He's the MVP. But he just looked tired. And I don't know if that's even a great word to show. I mean, that was such a bad loss. And then, so what are they going to do? The Pagulas are going to what? They're going to drag out a guy like Kevin Adams? So like a lot of fans, I'm thinking, yes, we're in the Super Bowl window, right? We have Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. They looked really bad Sunday. God forbid they don't make the playoffs. In what world is Pegula going to get rid of Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean when they've held on to Kevin Adams, who seemingly doesn't have a pulse? It's just so frustrating. You have to do something for the season ticket holders. If anything else, in what world is someone going to go down there and park in the freezing cold to watch this garbage? I'm just so sick and tired of this organization not trying to go for the cup. Not trying to, in a golf sense, or you know what, heck, the Stanley Cup, but you know what, I'd like a ticket to the dance. I'd like to lose in four games the first round of the freaking playoffs. It's so frustrating. You got the Eagles that win the Super Bowl last year. You know what they go out and do? They go out and get the best pass rusher available and trade for them. I mean, it's just, we feel so complacent and just so reliant on Josh Allen for the Bills, and this loser as a GM for the Sabres. I'm all fired up. I'm sorry, fellas. You guys have a great day.
Mark, thanks for the call.
Mark, you're not alone on the fired up thing. And
I will say, though, bringing up the Bills and Sabres, I know everyone's frustrated with the Bills. I'm frustrated with the Bills. The whole thing. I'm frustrated with Bean, and I've mentioned the Waddle report really bothered me. It did not put a positive feel for me. Like, at least you tried. I was the exact opposite. That organization, that group, rightfully can lay back on, as I said, they've won the division 5 years in a row. They keep winning playoff games. They keep giving themselves a chance in the dance to go win a championship.
Right.
They can be a wild card team and do it. You know, Aaron Rodgers is one Super Bowl win. He's a wild card team. Eli Manning, both, I believe, giant Super Bowls with him are wild card teams. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. That has happened. It can happen. Doesn't happen often. Doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. That's where I think the difference is with the Sabres and the Bills. And that's where I do think, as much as maybe people don't like ownership, I think there will be a move made for the Sabres because they don't have anything to lean back on. There is no success to lean back on. There's nothing to defend your job. This is what you have, and it's been some of the worst in the sport.
As the caller mentions, like there's almost like this organizational arrogance within the Sabres, and you kind of feel it a little bit sometimes. Like, How?
Yeah.
Who the bleep are you? Is where I get to that. It's... And at this point, it just... I have this, it's not even non-zero, it is a rather large fear. They won't make the move to change the general manager. They won't. It just won't happen because for some reason, that's what we have to live with.
I mean, they got it at some point, because at a certain point, no matter any industry you're in, the justification of keeping that group, Kevin Adams in particular, a general manager, is just not justifiable.
But hey, they play the Avalanche tonight, guys.
9 o'clock, start time, 8 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. 803-0550, the number two call. As I mentioned, we'll have Sal Capaccio on at 11, talk the Bills. 14 players on the injury report yesterday, though only two players did not practice, so at least some good
signs
for
them. Please get us to the Bills now. I'm going to go into a spiral.
Nah, Carl, Dave, anyone else on hold, we'll get to you when we come back. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
I want fans to know that I'm going to do my best. You know, obviously, I'm going to have fun, but I'm going to execute, have a surgical execution, and just play ball, man. Like, this is something I've been doing since I've been 4 years old. Now I just get to do it in the greatest city in the world. I'm going to be saying it with my son. It's the greatest city in the world. Yeah, that's a Hamilton reference, if y'all don't know.
A little levity here on a bit of a tough Thursday morning. Jameis Winston there. Talking with the New York media, he is getting the start this Sunday
that
against Green
sense.
Bay. Jackson Dart out with a concussion. I will tell you right now, real quick, because we're going to get back to your calls. I do enjoy watching Jameis Winston play football. I feel like until the day he retires, he should be a starter somewhere in the league purely for the entertainment value that it would offer.
You know what? Jameis Winston plays football the way that everyone on Madden plays football.
Yep. Yep. No fear.
No fear.
Zero fear.
No fear. Nothing between the ears. We're playing.
Like he says, like, I'm going to run it surgically. And I know it. Quarterback's a cerebral position. But when you watch Jameis Winston play football, you're like, dude, you're not performing surgery on me.
Yeah, do not.
Get out of here.
Do not leave me with him with the scalpel,
get
please.
Get out of here with that. He is a joy to watch, though. I know.
The next thing you know, there's milk duds falling in.
I can play Operation. There we go.
Yeah.
Play Operation with Jameis Winston. I know.
I just wanted to make the Seinfeld reference.
I know there's stuff in his personal life that is not nice at all. I understand that. But in terms of just watching him play football, I look forward to whenever he starts.
He is beyond weird.
Yes. 803-0550, the number to call. Before we get back to your calls, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 towards your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. The contest does end January 4th, 2026. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today. Now we go back to the phones. We'll start up this segment with Dave on the line. Dave, how we doing, man?
Doing great, guys. Now, I like Kevin Adams, but I think where he's failing is I believe there's a lot of stuff going on off the ice that's probably dividing the team and distracting the team, in particular the goaltending situation. You got UPL, who obviously probably wants to play, and it's obvious that Lindy Ruff really doesn't, you know, want to put him in there with the way he played Reimer last year and, you know, the way he's used Lamb so much. I think the issue with Alex Tuch, the contract situation going on, Tuch, you know, if the rumors are true and Tuch is asking for $10 million, and obviously the Sabres don't want to pay him the $10 million, I think there might be an issue there. You know, I mean, there was a report. Remember Paterka leaned over to Tuch and said, hey, man, they treat us really well in Utah?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't a report. He was on a hot mic. Oh, yeah, uh-huh, that happened.
Okay, well, he wouldn't say it to him if he knew, he obviously knows Tuch's not happy. So mm-hmm. I don't think Tuck's got his head in the game. I think Thompson I think he's checked out, because if you look at some of the situations where fans booed, he's very sensitive early on this year, already showing his irritation with the fans. And obviously then you got reports of Levi asking for a trade behind the scenes. What Kevin needs to do right now is he needs to get control of his house. He's got to, first of all, if Ruff doesn't want UPL, move him out of here. If Levi is an issue with this, you got to bring him up. You got to send Ellis down. The way Ellis played in that third period yesterday, he didn't look like an NHL goalie. We could have won that game yesterday. They played two good periods. At this point, I would use the opportunity of that third period to try to get him through waivers, get him down to Rochester, get Levi up, and then try to find a way to resolve the Tuch issue. Because if Tuck's head is not in the game and Thompson's head is not in the game, we're not going to win. Those two guys, if they had their heads in the game yesterday, could have easily raised the level of play in that third period, and they could have won that game. And I think that this team is not a bad team. You know, the first Utah game I went to, where they lost over, they played a good game. The problem is the players that, for example, that we're paying the big money to, or if Tuck wants to be a $10 million player, they're not raising their game. And what it all comes down to is Adams needs to make decisions to take control of these off-the-ice situations. Seems like he wants to keep everybody happy, and he's a nice guy and everything. And I get that, but he needs to make decisions, or it's time to make the change. And I think that the off-the-ice stuff is hurting the season again. He mentioned last year that 30-game slide, not doing anything, and how it hurt his team. Well, he needs to react now and at least handle the goaltending situation and pare it down to two goalies, whatever goalies he chooses, ride with it, and try to get this, you know, basically get whatever the off-ice stuff that's going on that we don't know about settled.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for the call.
Dave.
Oh, we do got to move on here, but because there's a lot there. I think if we somehow have a Rob Johnson, Doug Flutie goaltender controversy going on in the locker room, that would be incredible.
Who created it, though?
Yeah.
Adams did.
Adams signing, like, UPL.
You mentioned the get control of everyone here. How does it happen? Leadership. Yeah. Attitude affects leadership. And I've got Adams saying we don't have palm trees, we have taxes. But the comment that still always irritates me more is how they were reportedly on a deal with Natchez. And he said, you would have complained about how much I would have paid for that too. So it allows it to point it back at everyone else. Thompson, having irritation after the third game, saying the season's not over here. And it was interesting, the comments that were between him and Darlene, where Darlene's saying, we're playing bad. We need to be better. This is unacceptable. We have to change this. And it starts with me. And Thompson says something along the lines of, sky's not falling yet. And where does that come from, though? It comes from the front office at this point. And the goalie situation. You had to, realistically, claim Colton Ellis because Alex Georgiev was unplayable. You knew that if he had to start a game in the National Hockey League this year, it was going to end in disaster. But now you're trying to hold on to the asset, knowing damn well that St. Louis claims Colton Ellis back the first moment they get.
St. Louis. You can't send him down. I mean, you can't send him down. He's getting claimed.
He's getting claimed. If the coach doesn't want to play UPL, why are you holding on to him at this point? Well, one, the contract is very hard to get rid of at this point based on the level of play that Lukanen is going to give you on a nightly basis. And secondly, no, there's not even a second on that one. It really is mostly just about the contract. I don't even know if Adams necessarily wants to hold on to Lukanen at this point.
No, he may not want to, but yeah. Like,
but that
like
contract's tough to get rid of.
Is really hard to get rid of.
And that's where I'll be fair on that one. Like,
the contract is hard to get rid of based off his play. It's not like it's the worst contract in the world.
No, it's not.
It is a mixture of his play really not justifying it right now, albeit he was very good in the shootout win. You also do need, your big-time players to step up. And, yeah, I mean, you've had the comments from Thompson immediately into the season when they were
0-3.
0-3 and looked lifeless outside of Alex Lyon.
They looked lifeless.
They looked lifeless. It's just – that's why I'm not really scared of a rebuild anymore. I'm not really kind of like, oh, no, we're going to go through 2-3 more. Yeah, why not? Because I don't like this core. I don't think they have really any leaders in the core outside of maybe Rasmus Dahlin.
Rasmus Dahlin, I think, is a good leader. He tried to show up here early in the season with what happened and then realized, okay, this is not working right now. And while he's home, he is on the ice at Frölunda. He's trying to make sure that he is able to come back in relative shape. He knows that he has a loyalty to this place. And I couldn't be happier to see that. I mean that. Considering what's going on there, the fact that he's still working tells me he's loyal to the club. And yet, the way that this team has performed without him already in the two games, I'm wondering if he comes back to that scene that everybody gifts in Community. Donald Glover comes back with the pizzas, and everything's on fire.
And everything's on fire.
And everything's on fire, and he's screaming no. But again,
sadly, it wouldn't be anything new for Donnelly, though. Whenever he's not in the lineup, the organization collapses.
And ready? It's not just Dahlin now this year.
No, because you're right. It's Benson, too.
The forward core looks lost without Zach Benson in the lineup. In particular, Tage Thompson.
Yeah, it's just incredible. 803-0550, again, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Carl is up next. Carl, how we doing, man?
Hey, good. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, so before I get to my point, I was listening to what you guys were just talking about with that UPL contract. It's probably pretty hard to offload, but I think right around the trade deadline, there's got to be a contender out there that's going to have the cap space who might want Tuck. And it's like, you can't have Tuck unless you take UPL's contract too. So
Might
be a way to kind of do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and then my second point is trying to get Terry Pegula to listen. I don't know if Jarmo or Kevin want a Brandon Shanahan in the organization. But there's got to be a way to make the boss of it all listen to the fans. He hasn't talked to us or had a press conference in years. And at the end of the day, we tried a lot of ways, but there's got to be some sort of like Sabres game boycott. Like, people got to stop showing up at this point. I live in Florida, so that's really easy for me. But whenever I watch a game and I see people in the crowd, I just don't understand how someone can sit there and pay to watch and see that on the ice happen in front of them. So that's pretty much where I'm at. I'll hang up and listen. Have a good day.
Yeah, Carl, thanks for the call.
Appreciate that. I love the creativity, by the way, of the UPL thing of like...
Marry them together to try to offload it. That makes a lot of sense to me. It would suck to not get enough really for Tuck, though, but you are giving them off for rental. I will say, in terms of the Pegula stuff, I just hope it's the results. That's what I mean with the Bills. I know people won't love to hear that, but they at least can fall back on, guys, we keep making the playoffs. Like, we keep having a chance at the dance. We keep making it. We keep winning playoff games. We'll see if that continues on this year. The Sabres don't have that. Kevin Adams does not have that. That is what I hope is enough. And we've mentioned Pegula earlier on in his tenure as the steward, the owner of the Sabres, maybe had a bit of a quick trigger. And so maybe this is a too much of a correction.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I don't right care if Yarmo or Kevin Adams don't want a Brendan Shanahan in the room. For me, that's where I'm at. I want people that have credibility within hockey circles to come into the organization and fix this. Because ultimately, in the sport of hockey, in the NHL, it is not that hard to make the playoffs compared to the rest of the leagues that we all watch and love. It's not. It is stunning. It is like in dog years how long they have not been able to make the playoffs. That's almost my biggest frustration with them, really, is that if this was the NFL, this would be like a 30-year playoff drought.
It's what it equates to prorated in a sense.
Comparing it to – it's unbelievable. And so that's also to a point. If they do the rebuild and they do it correctly, it's not that painful. It's not even that long. I think you have some good young talent that you don't need to get rid of. Zach Benson's one of them. I've really liked what I've seen from Austin and Roseanne. We'll see about the young goaltenders like with Levi or even Colton Ellis. I don't know.
People won't want to hear this, but you keep Owen Power.
Yeah.
Keep
Darlene.
He's been better. Ready? I don't know if I would have said this at the beginning of the season. Keep Samuelson.
Yeah, he's fine. No issues. It doesn't have to be the most painful thing in the world.
Try to disfire him if you can, and find ways to reset. But like, I think I've recognized enough pieces where I'm like, okay, it's going to stink, but like, you hold on to even Kulik through the blood clots and see if he's able to get back to form. And you go. You go from here. Like, I know that a new version of a rebuild probably should be nothing is safe and nothing is sacred except for Rasmus Dahlin and that's it. But I do think that you try with whoever the new person would be, and it has to be a new person.
That's the biggest part for me, is it has to be a new person. It has to be somebody who has been there and done this. It is no disrespect to Kevin Adams in that sense, but where the Sabres are at, where they have dug themselves into, they need somebody with decades worth of credibility, of experience, to get them out of this. Because that's where you do get into the spot of, yeah, we don't have palm trees. You know, no one wants to trade with us. No one wants to sign here. You have somebody that's been there and done it, that has that attachment around the league, that can make that a little bit easier.
Remember a couple weeks ago when it was cool that they had a 5-4-3 record?
Yeah, it was fun. They were getting loser points. Problem was, some of those were because they couldn't win games in the third period.
They're 0-3-1 since. That's the problem.
Yep.
They haven't won any games. It's not even that they do pick up a game with a loser point, but like, they've won nothing since then. And while it is haunting that they've had weird situations and illnesses happening to players here, the best guys are also not playing like the best guys.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio coming up in just a little over 10 minutes here. Talk some Bills as they get one day closer to taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because Let's be honest. If shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Tailgate Trivia is back. It is presented by Total Sports Enterprise Buffalo. Listen during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch. It is courtesy of TSE Buffalo. Bills are in action Sunday at home against Tampa Bay. We'll get more on that coming up here at the top of the hour. Sal Capaccio will join the show. Here's Thursday, though. We have Thursday Night Football. Patriots hosting the Jets. The Patriots are in their rivalry jerseys. And, Derek, they are 12.5-point favorites, courtesy of FanDuel.
Oh, yeah. So tonight.
12.5-point favorites.
Tonight, televisions in Buffalo are going to see a combined 18 years of playoff drought on their screens today if they're flipping, if they're bold enough to even watch Sabres and Avalanche tonight, by the
18?
Way. 28.
28.
Did I say 18?
18. I thought you said 18.
Yeah, 20, I might have.
28 years.
Look, I'm spiraling because Dylan Cousins would be tied for the team lead in points right now. So.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
I.
You could tune into Purdue and Alabama.
Which,
seven.
Boy, howdy am I going to, baby.
College basketball.
Got Purdue against Alabama. Let's see if the boys can boiler up and hammer down against Crimson Tide.
I can't even lean into college football either. UB had a disastrous game last night at Central Michigan. 38-19 loss. UB had
five. Oh, so we're just in hell.
Yeah, UB had five turnovers, and Taquan Roberson, their quarterback, was sacked five times. Not a good day at the office either. Weirdly enough, though, the MAC is super clumped together. They are still alive in the MAC championship discussion with games at home against Miami of Ohio and Ohio to wrap up their season. 803-0550, the number to call. But coming up next, Sal Capaccio, more on the Bills. A lengthy injury report, but maybe some good news there from yesterday. This is WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey. Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hour number two rolls along here on a Thursday. Before we do get to Sal, ready to take your game day to the next level, enter online now at WGR550.com for a chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner is going to be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up taste buds at any of their three locations. Now, to the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio does join the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good, guys. Good morning to you as well.
All right. So the Bills got back to practice. It was a big injury report, 14 guys. But, Sal, only two players don't practice. So, for me, on a Wednesday, I'm taking this as a pretty good sign.
I agree with you. I wrote about it yesterday. I know it sounds weird to say, but when you start the week with 14 players in the injury report, that's not good. But if you actually look deeper into it, it's actually a little more encouraging than discouraging, to be quite honest with you, because of the 14 players, as you just mentioned, only two were did not participate, and that is Dalton Kincaid, which we know that he has a hamstring injury and he's pretty much likely out this week. It is a week-to-week injury. And then, defensive tackle Fedarian Mathis, who knows, maybe he practices today and, you know, maybe he's available, but that's it. Otherwise, the other part that's really encouraging is, guys, you had four guys, full participants, including A.J. Epinesa, who came back from concussion, Joshua Palmer, who it feels like, and Sean McDermott indicated, all signs point to him playing on Sunday, and then even T.J. Sanders, who is coming back from injured reserve as a designated to return, is a full participant. And given what happened with Max Harrison a few weeks ago I definitely would not rule out if TJ Sanders would be ready to play already this weekend.
No, absolutely. I think my thing with Sanders is I just thought they'd maybe slow play it. Like, he's coming back from IR. Okay, it'll be limited this week. I was a little stunned, Sal, to see he was a full participant. I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're going there. But you're right. Like, how they treated Max Harrison when he came back, it was once he was ready to go, all right, big guy, you're going in. Let's see what you got. And there's been some positives, absolutely, with him, two interceptions. There's also been some negatives, of course, the big touchdown to Waddle. But I think Harrison has been a big plus for that defense.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, given that and how they treated that situation, you could look to TJ Sanders, given the situation they have at defensive tackle right now, as maybe already likely to play this week. We'll see where that goes, especially considering Fedarian Mathis and, you know, what his situation is, because we don't know. That being said, the other reason why it's encouraging, guys, is it is a Wednesday. It's the first practice of the week, and you have seven defenders who are limited. Benford, Bernard, Bosa, Cam Lewis, Taron Johnson, Shaq Thompson, Dorian Williams. None of them were wearing red non-contact jerseys. However, Khalil Shakir was. So we'll see where that goes. But I just find that as an encouraging sign that when you're already in Wednesday, when you're starting the week on a Wednesday, if it's something that, you know, might really keep you out, a lot of times you're going to be off on Wednesday and then get back on Thursday. We'll see. We'll see about today. So practice today, a little over an hour from now. We'll keep everybody updated on who's on the field and who's not.
Shakir is the interesting one, Sal. I know he was limited, obviously, as you just mentioned there, the red non-contact, but it being a rib injury, that maybe could point to about a week injury for him. We'll see what that means for today. But just with the wide receiver room, it's almost like give and take at this point with them. Like, oh, great, you know, it's looking like Josh Palmer's going to be back. Oh, no, maybe they're down Khalil Shakir. We'll see, though. Gabe Davis, I know you mentioned yesterday, it's pointing to we're going to see him maybe sooner rather than later. And then also Mecole Hardman as well. I want to see maybe, Sal, what this wide receiver room looks like with some of the old guard coming in. Mecole Hardman, Gabe Davis, flat out is a former Bill, what have you, rather than some of the young guys who we haven't really gotten to see too much. I thought Elijah Moore maybe would have a bigger role in the Bills. Even going back to camp, it kind of was pointing to maybe not. But Gabe Davis has already that rapport with Allen. Maybe there is something there.
Yeah, we'll see if Gabe plays on Sunday. I think there's a pretty good possibility that's going to happen. I am, you know, just trying to read the tea leaves of the way Sean McDermott has talked about him, how much he's practiced the last few weeks leading into this week. So I do think that it's possible we see Gabe Davis on Sunday. And, you know, we'll see what that does for the offense. Now, they obviously are struggling right now in the passing game by not only the eye test, but some of the metrics, things like that. Struggling for guys to get open. Another area they're struggling, I think, is sometimes when Josh is in the scramble drill, right? And he's running around looking for somebody. And, you know, Gabe has been very good in those instances. He's been very good for Josh to kind of get open and understand where to be when Josh is, you know, looking for somebody to throw to. And last week, there just wasn't anybody there. The thing that is going to hurt them this week for sure, though, is not having Dalton Kincaid. He's been their most reliable pass catcher. He's been their best mismatch. You hope that Josh Palmer can kind of, you know, take that on from the wide receiver spot, but not having Dalton Kincaid as a tight end is obviously, you know, problematic. When you go into a game and you already are concerned about what you're doing in the passing game and you haven't been able to do enough, and he's been your top guy, and then you come back and he's not out there, I think that they have to figure something out with that, whether that's incorporating Gabe Davis, who knows? You bring up Mecole Hardman. I mean, I don't know when Mecole Hardman's going to play either. If he's going to play anytime soon, I do think his path to play right away is returning punts and kicks. The Bills have to do a better job of having some starting field position. And I would say this, because of Khalil Shakir's injury, maybe right away you think, okay, we're not going to put him back there to return punts, right? I mean, do you want Khalil Shakir back there, even if he's healthy enough to play? Do you want him back to return in punts? You might want Mecole Hardman right away to step in if it's not going to be Brandon Codrington active.
Sal, when it comes to staying on the injury report here, the defense still dealing with it. Corners with Taron Johnson, Christian Benford, they do have the encouraging the fact that they were limited right away to start the week. Cam Lewis also on that list, but also the three linebackers, Terrell Bernard, Shaq Thompson, Dorian Williams. It's encouraging that they all got on the field and practicing, but it does look like the lumps to the defensive depth chart is still at large.
Yeah, for sure. They're just banged up, you know, on defense. It's as simple as that. They're banged up and they're piecing it together. You know, they didn't do a terrible job last week other than, you know, late in the game. A couple of long runs went against them and they were on the field for a long time, no doubt. They could have been better earlier in the game and a couple critical downs that's also the case. I think one-on-one, Max Harrison, you mentioned it, getting beat by Jalen Waddle, you know, that was a big play in the game. But I thought that overall the defense, you know, did what they could do to try to hang on as long as possible. The offense wasn't scoring. That said, they're trying to hang on as long as possible with, you know, really parts and pieces that are being pushed together because they have so many injuries. You know, they've missed Shaq Thompson. You know, it's good that he was a limited participant yesterday. We'll see if he plays this week with the hamstring, but that's a guy that you can use in a matchup situation, and we've seen that. He's filled in for both Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard, but he also gets used as a third linebacker when they need him there. I like the secondary, the way it's piecing together right now, guys, to be quite honest with you. I think the secondary is starting to look a little better and kind of, you know, the communication piece and those things that we talk about when Max Harrison came back and when Jordan Hancock, now he's starting to get a little bit of run and, you know, they're moving him in and out of the lineup based on down and distance and situation and personnel to get a little more speed on the field. And I feel like that's trending in the right way. Christian Benford, obviously a big piece to get back. They missed him against the Miami Dolphins. So I like that part of it. But up in the front seven, I mean, so many parts that are moving around. You just hope that they can do what they can to kind of survive as long as they can before they get guys back.
Sal, you mentioned the secondary, and I did want to expand on that because Harrison's been brought up a couple times now. But Cole Bishop, I do think he is really starting to come into form a little bit here on the back end for the Bills. You mentioned it, how they're communicating more effectively. Bishop is kind of making plays everywhere on the field as of late over the last few games. He does seem to be stabilizing a little bit more as Buffalo's safety back there.
I agree, and I think this is a great example. It really was right away. We started talking about this, but I think even more so, just a great example that you just can't make these sweeping judgments about players' careers and good draft pick or bad draft pick and things like that. Like so early on, there were definitely circumstances, and Cole didn't help himself when he was in there making mistakes. I think the injuries played a big role and a big part of, you know, him having those mistakes and him not being, you know, ready to play when people wanted him to and people needed him to. And, you know, part of it was Taylor Rapp was not the right guy and he wasn't healthy enough to be playing next to him. And that didn't help Cole enough. And when you have two safeties in a system that relies on both of them playing off each other a lot and enough and so much that when one of them is less than, it's going to impact the other one and make him less than. And I think that Cole Bishop was also a product of that with Taylor Rapp not being healthy. And we saw what was happening there. Well, you insert Jordan Poyer and suddenly Cole Bishop seems like a new player. And that's because of the work he does off the field with him too, by the way, like Jordan, I mean, like in practice and film room and you're bringing him in here for that. We were told that, but I just think that calming the situation back there, having a stable voice and understanding and knowing, and a guy that can really, you know, the direction of that secondary and the whole defense has really helped him. But he has been a really, really important player and a good player for them over the last several weeks. I mean, that New Orleans game, when he had that interception and everybody saw the athletic ability, it just feels like he's been, like that play has kind of really changed his career. You know, guys, like it really has.
Yeah.
You go back to that play. Ever since that play, he's just been on an ascension, and I think that was a big confidence booster. Getting Jordan Poyer next to him has been really helpful, and you can really point to that moment where things started to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. To the Bills' opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, some good news for them and maybe a little surprising good news. Both Bucky Irving and Chris Godwin, Sal, were both limited at practice today, albeit in a walkthrough. But, man, that would, I think, be a bit of a blow to the Bills if Bucky Irving, I think more so than Chris Godwin, if Bucky Irving could end up playing for Tampa this weekend.
Yeah, he's a really good player. They've been without him for about a month and a half here. Mm-hmm. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He runs the ball. He's just a guy they rely on in so many facets of the game. He has dealt with a shoulder and a foot injury. And Todd Bowles, this is really interesting to me, a couple of things about this. Because he did practice yesterday in a walkthrough. And Todd Bowles basically said that he still needs to take a hit on the shoulder. Well, that's not a walkthrough, right? I mean, like, when are you going to take that hit? So are you going to put him in a game against the Buffalo Bills in a colder, windier game, basically in Buffalo? I'm not sure. It feels like it's a little too premature for them to do that. Like, it feels like it's, you know, a little ambitious if they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So as I sit here now, I think that maybe it's another week. They'd have a conference game after the Bills. They play the LA Rams next week. There's a non-conference game. So I don't know. If they put Bucky Irvin out in the field this week, he's a really good player, but I do wonder, you know, what that looks like for them. It also is super interesting to me, guys. I think that's the first time I've ever seen a video of a media member put out a video of a walkthrough. And I don't know what that means. So, and I tell you this, because let me tell you just peek behind the curtain. Like, teams don't, you guys know we have rules in practice, what we can shoot, what we can't, right? Yep. We go to practice, we have a, you can shoot stretching and individual work and all that kind of stuff. Every team is different. Some teams don't let you take video of anything. I mean, I don't think the Bears, I think, like, if you look, I don't think the Bears media is allowed to put out any video of anything. So, like, every team is different. But I don't know of any team that allows video of a walkthrough. A walkthrough is generally game planning. And here's this video yesterday that pops up of a media member who I cover, who I follow this week. And I'm going to go and I'll actually point you to who it was. And I have to apologize. I'm going to try and scroll down and find it because I was looking at it yesterday. And I'm like, wow, like they can actually put video out of walkthroughs. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe in some capacity, the Buccaneers want that video out there for the Bills to make them think that he's going to play. You know what I mean? Right. Like, is it gamesmanship? I really don't know what to think about it.
Was it Rick Stroud,
playing
by the way?
In the game.
It wasn't Rick Stroud, but maybe he... Rick Stroud is a longtime writer and reporter, so he could have had video too. It wasn't the one I saw.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's the one I saw, but he was the grainy photo. It wasn't a video, but it was a photo.
No. There was literally video of Bucky Irving in a walkthrough, and I'm like... Well, that's kind of weird.
I was glad you brought this up because this is what I was thinking too. And I'm like, this almost kind of feels like it shouldn't have been out until later in the day when Todd Bowles spoke. But yeah, so we had both seen different stuff. So yeah, maybe they're a little bit different. That is always kind of one of the more interesting things is how different teams do different things. The Bills, obviously, everyone kind of knows, especially once McDermott came in, it got a little different and a little wonky. We'll see though. I'm with you, Sal. Because we've also seen this from the Bills as well, that there actually is more of a ramp-up period of they're limited for a week, and then the process really begins of actually if they're going to go play. And Bowles' comments of, you know, he needs to take a hit on the shoulder. Yeah, I can't imagine you're going to do that in a game and, like, let's see how it reacts. Bowles has been around too long. This is not his first stop. I can't imagine he'd do that.
Yeah, and then you have Chris Godwin, obviously, coming back from the fibula injury, right? Mm-hmm. And like, what does that look like? You know, is he ready to play? So it just feels everything put together just feels to me like it's not going to be something that we're going to be, you know, seeing them. But who knows? I mean, they could decide to you know, put these guys on the field on Sunday and go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, we also have Thursday Night Football tonight. It's an AFC East game, and one that I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm looking forward to watching a game that has a 12.5-point spread. I really, really am. I haven't been able to get to see too much of Drake May outside of the red zone highlights, and that doesn't tell the whole story, right? You don't get to see the entire game. But then also with the Jets, the stuff with Aaron Glenn, and he kind of, you know, kind of got combative with the media earlier this week with the injury report and stuff like that. I'm kind of into watching this game. I want the Patriots to lose. Do not get me wrong. But I've also just got kind of this like inkling of like, let's see how bad this whole Jets situation can get. I don't know. It's weird. I'm kind of all in on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I have no visions of grandeur of the Jets beating the Patriots tonight. But it is the NFL. Anything can happen. If it was in New York, maybe a little more chance because it's a Thursday night going on the road. Now, it's not a long trip, obviously, to go from, you know, New England to New York or New York to New England, but it's the Jets on the road here at New England on a Thursday night. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. You never know, though. I mean, the Jets, they have won two in a row, but in those games, they've still given up, 38 to the Bengals. Nothing, you know, good offense there. 20 to the Browns, who don't have much of an offense to speak of. They did last week, though. If you look at their... You look at the numbers for the Jets last week. How did they win that game?
I know.
They were 3 of 11. They were out first down 23-12 by the Browns. 23-12. They converted 3 of 11 first downs and had less than 170 total yards of offense, yet they scored 27 points and won.
CCL, I was just looking at the Justin Fields stat line where it's like, oh, he had 54 yards passing. That's bad enough. No, it's even worse. 42 of it came on one Breece Hall catch.
I know.
That's even worse somehow. It's just
and awful. And no Garrett Wilson now. Garrett Wilson.
He's out for at least, I think, 3 or 4 weeks was the report.
3 to 4 weeks. Garrett Wilson out, so you don't have him. And look, Drake May is playing like an MVP. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. There are people who will tell you right now he is the MVP of the league. This kid is good. And they've handled him right. And he's got Josh McDaniels now as his offensive coordinator. And they are... The one thing about the Patriots that I just can't believe is sustainable, but it just keeps happening every week, is them hitting these deep shots.
I know.
I mean, they are hitting on a deep ball rate. They are hitting two or three a game. It is crazy.
And it doesn't matter who
it is. Some of the throws I'm watching on, I'm like, wait, how did that get completed? Like, it's a great throw, and it's a really good catch, but it's way too often that that's actually being completed compared to what you normally see.
And it does not even matter who it is. One week it's Stephon Diggs. Last week it's Mac Hollins. I mean, would they have Kyle Williams had like a 72-yard touchdown? Like, it's just big play.
Pop Douglas.
And you're like, who are half these guys? What is going on here? I think that also maybe to the same extent it was for Allen last year, why so many people are really getting ready to crown Drake May is that, guys, he's throwing to 30-plus-year-old Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL injury and a bunch of dudes. Credit to him.
And he wasn't even like May last week. His completion percentage was not good. He completed just over 50% of his balls. But because he threw a few long passes, it wound up being a really big Williams had a 72-yard touchdown catch, right? And then, by the way, they're also getting huge. They got huge plays in the run game. Travion Henderson, 55-yard run. Travion Henderson, 69-yard run. Like, the dude had a 55-yard touchdown run and a 69-yard touchdown run against this Buccaneers team, by the way, which is a very good run defense. It has been. That's coming to Buffalo this week. But they have been living on the big play a lot this year. And I don't know. I mean, the results are with the results, and you take them. I just keep thinking, man, is that sustainable? But the way that he's playing, you got to give him a lot of credit. They've done a really good job, the Patriots. But tonight they play a Jets team that's just so depleted, and yeah, they've won two in a row. I can't see the Jets going to New England winning on a Thursday night tonight.
Yeah, and speaking of the Jets, also Garrett Wilson officially downgraded to out, and it's almost as if the Jets can't afford to lose a player like Garrett Wilson here too now. And oddly enough, though, they have won a couple of games since hitting, was it 0-7? Have they won two in a row? Is that
they have won two in a row, yeah.
Won two in a row, yes.
So don't let the Jets get hot, but no, it does look like it is another lost season for the Jets here as well, as they're playing out the string, trading two players away at the deadline that were core pieces for them, and a passing offense where the quarterback is just so gun-shy that he won't throw the football.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes with the Jets.
It's a tough one. Zach's saying, I'm excited to watch
this. I'm all in.
Do we need to do we need to give him a hug?
I'm all in, man.
Who?
12.5-point spread, I'm all in for this game.
Who, Zach? Why? Because he wants to watch this game tonight?
I'm so all in for this game.
Listen, last night I was...
watch the Sabres.
Last night I was all in watching. I'm like, I'm ready to watch the Sabres. Come on now. Go out west. Get a couple points here. They're up 2-0. You're like, okay.
Right.
Like, let's go. Like, this is – and you know what? I even tweeted after the second goal. It was like terrible turnover in their own end. They get away with it. They score a goal. Roseans gets his second. I'm like, okay, like, that's stuff that usually happens against the Sabres. Maybe tonight's their night, right?
Right.
Wasn't the case.
No,
it was not their case.
I already know I need a hug because I watched that whole game last night. Yeah, so I know that. Like, yeah. So, but Zach, I don't know, man.
I mean, it's going to be that, and it's going to be Indiana and it's going to be Purdue and Alabama and basketball. I'm going to have a great sports night, Sal. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm happy. About
I'm very
that.
Excited.
I will be at the. I will watch some of the game when I get home. I'll keep an eye on it, but not in the theater. I'll be at the premiere of the Hallmark movie tonight.
Fantastic. All right. Sal, so glad you brought that up.
So if anybody's going tonight, say hi. I'll be there. So it'll be fun. I'm cringy. I've never, you guys know that I had a scene in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. I have a couple scenes, but I have a speaking part, and I have not seen it yet. Like, literally, tonight will be the first night I've seen that.
I think that's
they
the best.
They didn't give you a preview?
No, I think it's the best.
No, there was somebody who said, if you want a preview, and I'm like, yeah, maybe. I never got around to it. I'm like, okay. I'm just going to watch it. Yeah.
I think it's the best.
We're just
going
to do it live.
I
love it.
We're going to do it live.
Do it live.
Embrace it, Sal. Enjoy tonight. We'll talk again soon, man. Have a good day.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. I think it's the way to do it. If you ever have that opportunity, don't see it before. See it with everybody else and embrace it. Embrace it.
I kind of want Sal to do the Leo meme. Oh.
Oh, good movie. 803-0550, the number to call. We were talking Sabres, talking Bills there with Sal, and we'll keep going. 803-0550, the number to call. You're listening to WGR.
I think we're finding ourselves a little bit. Again, the mention of different wide receivers in there and this and that, and it's not what you want, but it's okay. We got to continue to find our best combination. Who gives us the best chance to win, and where can we find the rhythm in the passing game and whatnot, but overall, we've had it at times, and then other times it hasn't been there. So we gotta find that again and then stay with it.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the passing game, finding better combinations with the wide receivers, getting more into a rhythm. That's maybe like more one of the positive things he said about the wide receivers and the passing game in the last few weeks. That's why I've been trying. We haven't heard too many calls on the, you know, this is what McDermott wants in the offense, the whole thing. But I've been trying to push back on that, you know, outwardly
on that rhetoric,
hearing it, because it's just like, guys, from everything I'm hearing from him, no.
He's publicly saying, this is not what I want. I do not want this. And obviously, we just spoke with Sal Capaccio, getting ready for the next week, the next day of practice here. He went over the injury list with us, everything else going on with the Bills right now. And don't forget to join Sal Capaccio and Matt Bove for the live recording of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast down at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel on Tuesday, November 18th from 6 to 7 p.m. And don't miss the upcoming events at Batavia Downs, including Thurman Thomas Tailgate Party on November 20th and the Batavia Downs Bar Crawl on November 28th. Visit BataviaDownsGaming.com.
How are we reacting, by the way, if the Patriots do drop tonight? Look, I don't imagine they will. They're 12.5-point favorites against the Jets. The Jets are not good and hurt and have also lost key players to trades. But it's Thursday night, and we've seen weirder things. And we're all kind of, in some way, expecting the other shoe to drop. For the Patriots to drop a game, they really shouldn't. And, you know, looking at games
if
like Atlanta.
If it's the Jets.
I know.
No, ready?
But what's the sounds tomorrow morning all of a sudden going into this Tampa game?
Thank goodness I'm not in the air, because I'm going to laugh more than the Joker in the Batman animated series.
See, I don't know the way the Bills are playing, I don't know if I'm laughing or making fun of them. I think it's just, okay, now you got to go. Like, it becomes that much more intense of, okay, you got to win now Sunday.
Well, first, it'd be the day after thing of, like, they actually lost.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's back to being a scenario where the Bills are back in this thing. And it was the Jets? Are you kidding me? This is hilarious, actually. Then I think Saturday it would turn into, okay, tomorrow's going to be hell.
Lock it down. Get
tomorrow's
after it.
Tomorrow's going to be hell, cuz we got to get after it. But no, that next day, I'm laughing the entire time. I'm laughing so much that I might have to be admitted to the hospital cuz my sides will have fallen off.
I just it feels like such like a 35-7 game tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
They're in their rivalry jerseys and all that stuff, and I'm just like, it's going to be bad.
Good news, not a great win percentage for the rivalry jerseys,
which is upsetting. Because I've liked the looks.
If that happens, burn the concept.
I think Miami won in them, right?
Against the Jets.
Miami won again.
New England's right. Playing the exception to the rule.
Right. Because Arizona lost in them. Buffalo lost in them. Have we seen anybody else to them? Or is this the fourth one?
I think this is the fourth one.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, 1-2. It's not the worst.
But it's not good.
It's not good. But tonight, I mean, you know, can go to 2-2.
New England's facing the exception. It would be funny if they went 2-6 all year with the rivalries jerseys and the wins come against the Jets.
You know what I have not loved this year for the Bills, honestly? They're losing in the creative uniforms.
They're losing in the not standard uniforms.
I know. I'm not liking it. And this week we've got the standing Buffalo, and I'm like, don't go 0-3 in these jerseys. These jerseys being the non-standard ones. Because I'm enjoying it. And like, I'm not the biggest person of like, I want to see a bunch of different looks. Like I've mentioned with the Bills, I like the white out road uniforms, and I like blue jersey, white pants, home uniforms. Like, I'm good. I don't need too much.
Simplicity is best.
Yeah. But I've also really enjoyed that, you know, we have the rivalry jerseys. We're going to do the throwback. We're going to end the year with the red helmets. I don't want it to be like a 1-4 situation, because they're going to be the Jets week 18. I'm just, please. Please. I don't want us all sitting there going like, yeah, every time they got cute and fun, it was a disaster. Like, no one's going to like the rivalry jerseys 10 years from now.
What if they're locked in place to like the 5th or 6th seed and then they punt that game against the Jets?
Oh, man. I don't love that. Like, if we're looking at like potentially 1-3 or 0-4 in the fun jerseys, that's a non-winning percentage potentially, or a bad winning percentage.
Non-winning percentage. That's dreadful.
That's dreadful.
You're being too nice.
Well, because then I'm going to become the hardest critic. Anytime like any interesting uniforms going to come out, I'm like, guys, remember 25. Remember 2025. I'm not doing this again. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy at all. 803-0550, the number two call. Talking Bills, talking Sabres, especially after last night. They are in action again tonight, a back-to-back, a 5-2 loss to Utah last night. And now, tonight at 9, they take on the Colorado Avalanche, one of the best teams in the NHL. Nathan MacKinnon leading the league in scoring. We'll go back to the phones here, and David is with us next. David, how are we doing, man?
Hey, guys. Good. How you doing?
Doing well.
Before I get to my point, I just want to give the Sabres a little pat on the back. I know that the record's been kind of tough the last few games, but they're playing hard this year. At least it's fun to watch that. But I want to call – sorry, you guys, coming on the bike here. I think the Brandon Bean thing has just kind of run its course. Kind of look at how things have evolved. You know, the core of this team since 2022 has aged out. You haven't been able to replace that talent level. You know, no one's going to admit their baby's ugly, but – you know, they've really had zero high value adds since the Diggs trade, which was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think candidly. I mean, around it's tough is what the team's needs are and how good the players are on this team. Use Bernard as an example. Like, down and down, not a good player. But, you know, he makes his flash plays. Edmonds didn't make his flash plays.
Right.
So, you know, I just kind of feel like, hey, you know, maybe you need a different opinion here. I mean, his roster's not that good. It's a 5-win team with an average quarterback.
I wonder about that, David, and thanks for the call. I mentioned this in the offseason. This was my biggest fear, is I didn't love the talent level compared to some of the top teams. And I thought overall that's why they had lost in the playoffs, is that the talent level of the top-tier AFC teams was better, even going back to the divisional round. Baltimore loses that game far more than Buffalo wins it. No one cares, though, ultimately, because it's a playoff game and the winner moves on. But I think that still holds true. This is the first year, and Nate Geary brought this up yesterday with Bulldog.
Yep.
This is really the first year that Bean is under fire. There have always been his critics, and I probably was a little bit earlier to it, and to a certain extent a little unfair. I value the draft almost too much, and the misses were starting to really bother me, especially when I'm looking around the league at guys like in Tampa or Howie Roseman in Philadelphia, Les Snead in L.A., and all that stuff. Jason Light, by the way, in Tampa. I don't know why I just ignored his name. But I was maybe being a little unfair. This is the first year, though, where he's really getting heat. Part of it is his own doing.
It is his own doing.
Is making fun of essentially making fun of the idea of needing a wide receiver. And then the unit is really bad and in clear need of high-end capital. I'd also say, too, his drafting of Keon Coleman at all, now a year and a half in, looks to just be a massive head-scratching move that doesn't fit anything the Bills did well, doesn't fit what they were doing that offseason. I think Keon might be an okay, good receiver in the NFL, just not on the Bills, which is frustrating to say, knowing that Josh Allen's your quarterback, and for a little while there, it felt like, man, any receiver that joins Josh Allen's going to have a career year. John Brown, Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs. It was just boom, 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 boom. It felt like it was coming. Now, that's a few years off. That is not the case anymore. I don't think he really fits their system. I don't think he really fits Josh Allen as a quarterback and who he likes going to. But so you have that. You have...
But you know what it also is? It's something that he worked along with in Carolina. The type of receiver.
Yeah.
Calvin Benjamin. Devin Funchess.
It's Dave Gettleman. I know a lot of people look to McDermott always and judge him for being a defensive guy. And that's why I'm not exonerating him of all of his wrongdoings. I'm not. He has his warts. But in this, I do want to push back, is I think he does want to throw the ball. I think he wants to look more like Detroit or the Rams, where, hey, yeah, we can run the ball. Of course, that's awesome. We also have a superstar quarterback. We're going to throw the ball. But we can do both. On any given day, we can kill you whichever way we like. The Bills cannot do that this year. They kind of couldn't last year either. But like we brought up with Sal the last 2 days, they had great starting field position. They literally led the league in starting field position last year. They are now second to last this year. They had a ton of takeaways on defense. They didn't turn the ball over on offense. Everything went perfect for them last year.
It was playing perfectly last year. Like the offensive line in particular had one of the best seasons in pass pro that you could have ever had.
Mm-hmm. And so they're having a tough time. I think there is a talent issue here. The contract extensions have not worked out. We've talked to that to death. But for me, I do wonder. The bullseye has been painted so heavily on Brandon Bean, and the man damn near bought the paint for it.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing, is, and now you're getting the national media really riled up about the receiver problem. And they're calling it a front office issue. Go to Mina Kimes on her podcast. That's almost exactly what she says, is this is a front office issue, not addressing the wide receivers. Then getting agitated when people brought up that it's still kind of an issue. Josh Palmer might be a great compliment wide receiver. He's not a one.
He's not a one. And I think that's what the Bills are now missing at this point. They have a bunch of guys, but that can very easily be a problem when they have to move up the depth chart.
Mm-hmm. And then even Dalton Kincaid is maybe another one. And while I love the talent that he has, maybe his biggest problem is that they actually can't use him more. He physically can't stand up. I don't know. But he seems to have been picking up injuries as we go, the hamstring. And Sal's brought up, maybe it's not good to have him on the field more than, what is it, like the 45% of the time that he's on average.
It's getting unfortunate this year with him because he's been so good when he's on the field. And I've wanted to push that threshold, but then Kincaid will pick up an injury and it's bad luck and it's bad timing on that sort of thing to where, all right, well, I don't know what to do here. But also, at the end of the day, Kincaid is still also listed as a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we drafted him to be a receiver. No, he plays tight end. If you're going into contract negotiations, you're negotiating it as a tight end.
Yeah, or else we're going to have a Mike Gesicki situation, which that went well.
Right. It just, there's enough frustrations there. And then it's, like you just said, Bean probably bought the paint himself for painting the target on his back here. And it just, it has compounded at this point. He was not nearly thought of, even remotely,
no,
as a problem, quote unquote, to really anyone.
I think by at large, if you polled all of Bills Mafia before this offseason, most would have said they're fine with Bean. I would say most would say they would love him. But yes, if people were asked, what's the problem? Sean McDermott. Yep. And then you'd have a few beans thrown in there. Maybe. Now, I think it has somewhat flipped. Again, McDermott's always going to get – he's the head coach.
You wear it as a head coach. It's unfair in some ways.
But I think we are very close to 50-50 split. And honestly, the trade deadline has not helped either. The report that they were in on Jalen Waddle or Quinnen Williams and getting nothing done does not help your case at all. Because now you look like – and this maybe is true or not, but not fair, but you're going to look like the do-nothing GM. I mean, the caller just brought up, like, what's the last major trade they made? Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's the pandemic.
Yeah. That is literally the pandemic.
It's years ago now.
5 years. So, 5 years ago.
Yeah, so it's hard to hold. It's the same thing, though, of bringing up I drafted Josh Allen, which he did as sort of a defense. Now that's just going to agitate more people of like, seriously, you're going that far back, really?
You're going
like,
7 years back here.
We haven't won a championship yet, and you're going back into the past, again, of years we didn't win a Super Bowl in.
With said player that should have won.
Yeah, it feels like the first time in his tenure as GM that he maybe has less support than Sean McDermott does. And it's dwindling as the weeks go on, and it's probably going to dwindle as the weeks go on here too, because the Bills are playing better pass defenses, and they may not have Kincaid for a few weeks here. So it's got to be Josh Palmer and Keon Coleman picking up the slack, and maybe Khalil Shakir. But we'll see about the rib injury.
It might seriously be Gabe Davis.
And
the fact that I have to say that is already abhorrent on the general manager's resume.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Adam is up next. Adam, how are we doing?
Morning, guys. How are we doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
I mean, you know, the blame is – there's a lot of different ways it can go. But the one thing that's always really stuck out to me with this organization and more specifically the coaching staff is, you know, the coaching staff in and of itself, we don't seem to really attract – quality coaching candidates from outside the organization, unless if they're coming from the Carolina Panthers. Right. You know, and take a look at the last like 10 Super Bowl winning head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they seem to have a specialty that they manage in terms of their side of the ball. Nick Sirianni, you know, he's running the offense. You have Vic Fangio that's running the defense. You know, if the Chiefs, you know, you have Andy Reid, he's running the offense. You have Steve Spagnuolo on the defense. The Rams, when they went and won, you had McVay running the offense. You had Raheem Morris running the defense. There seems to be a huge disconnect between what our head coach wants to do with the offensive side of the ball and who he trusts. What I would really like to see after this season is all said and done, if Brady's going to be back, have the ability to bring in some type of specialist who's going to be your senior offensive head coach or whatever. And just to throw a name out there, if he's to give an example, why can't you bring in like a Mike McCarthy to do this? Or again, just him as an example, a John Gruden. And I think that comes down to the simple fact of, I don't think Sean McDermott knows what he wants to be on offense. For years, we're throwing long touchdowns, you know, we're turning the ball over, sure, but, you know, our air yards are crazy. We're throwing the ball all over the place, and then it's, nope, we got to be more 12 personnel and control the line of scrimmage and blah, blah, blah. And that they tried to fit that square peg into a round hole, and it does not work. And now I think we're still paying the price for wanting to do that. And now it's like, well, now we need to be better throwing the football. This is the team that this is the offense that he wanted. And as much as he can say that he wants to be better throwing the football, I think his actions or his lack of action in terms of adding to the offensive coaching staff is it's really starting to rear its head in terms of just the way I see the coaching staff. You know, there doesn't really seem to be this need to attract quality coaching candidates from outside of the organization, and that has to change if he's going to stick around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Adam, thanks for the call.
I'll hang up and I'll listen to your comments.
Yeah, this is something I've wanted the Bills to do more, because I think it's deliberate. I think they want to bring in guys and then promote from within. You've seen that the last two OCs, they have done that.
You have mentioned if Miami fires him,
I want McDaniel.
You want McDaniel to replace Brady if he gets a head coaching job.
That's what I want. You know,
or a coach of that caliber where it is an outside source of the organization, because how many times have you said it? About the promoting from within thing.
I think there's a positive and a negative to it. And I think the Bills have run into the negative where it's a bit of an echo chamber. I think also they've run into a problem of each offensive coordinator that they've had in McDermott seemed to have a different idea. Like, this is where I will criticize McDermott. Dude, stick to it. This is Buffalo Bills football. I know it's cringy. I get it. But this is what we do here. We have Josh Allen, a quarterback. You can bring in your ideas and some different flavor to it, but this is what we do. Brian Daboll's offense was different than Ken Dorsey's, and Ken Dorsey's is wildly different than Joe Brady's. That is not sustainable success. They are going to run into problems, and they have with the last two OCs, where the numbers look good because they have Josh Allen at quarterback and now James Cook at running back for Brady. But there is a disconnect there, and I do blame McDermott a little bit on that. Of, you're the head coach. You delegate, and I'm fine with that. Nick Sirianni is around for the offense. He is far more of a delegator.
Yes.
For the Eagles. Sean McVay handles the offense, but even Andy Reid, he has Matt Nagy as his offense coordinator. Like, but it's, you run our system. This is what we do, and you're here to bring in a little bit of a different flavor. You add in a little bit of spice to this
dish. And that's where the
dish.
Defensive background is probably where it bites him in that sense. He has to more or less trust that whoever's running this is going to get
right,
it done.
Because the defense has their identity. As much as we'll all complain about it, they have their identity. The offense, it does seem to change year into year. So, Adam, I think you're right. And I'm going to be saying this the whole offseason, or, well, you know, however long it's going to last. If McDaniel is fired from Miami, that is who I want. If Brady is gone and McDaniel's fired, that's who I want as an offensive coordinator. Bring in different voices. Bring in different ideas. And that can hopefully help and put you on an even better path than you already are. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to WGR. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Thursday morning here on WGR. Sabres Live coming up in just a few minutes. Before we get out of here, though, some funny media moments yesterday. Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen both taking shots at each other. Their hand sizes. Allen was called 6'10", which I can't find as an insult.
Baker Mayfield says, I have to walkie-talkie to him because he's so damn tall. In Buffalo, it's cold, rainy, and even though he's 6'10", his hands are small, so he better wear his gloves.
So funny. And then Allen says that he wears two gloves when he's golfing. That's the kind of guy he is. Which, you know, Nate Geary was explaining kind of how that operates. And I'm like, yeah, he probably just looks kind of like an idiot. A little bit of a try-hard. I like Baker Mayfield so much. I like him and Sam Darnold both. Mm-hmm. The career revitalizations they've had. I'm glad both are in the NFC, so I can like openly root for them when they're not playing the Bills.
I think it's also their story. They're both on their fourth team.
Yeah, Darnold and Mayfield. It took time. They both had to fail.
Even Mayfield, it didn't take time, but he was mismanaged by Cleveland.
Yeah, I was gonna say Baker was actually the darling of that rookie year. It was not Jackson. It was Baker Mayfield. He was the darling of the rookie year. Disaster for both of them, and now they're both awesome. And they maybe had my favorite game of the NFL this year when they both played each other.
True.
Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
Arc Raiders.
a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to health care that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.